This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, the title of my sermon is called The Anointing Connection. The Anointing Connection. How many people ever heard about the anointing? Of course, we're all in an anointed church, amen. The anointing is really, it's God's presence and His power on a person's life. And I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes I'm walking in a greater anointing, a greater presence, a greater power in God. Sometimes I'm not walking in as strong as I want to walk in. Has anybody ever experienced that? And it's called either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the Spirit. Amen. And so that's what I want to do. And I really believe that God wants to place His power and His presence on each one of us. Amen. You know, I think about, you know, the movies that we watch. And a lot of times movies that we watch, there's heroes and villains in the movies. Is that right? And we all want to be the hero. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. We look at the heroes in the movies. And even in the Bible, there's heroes and villains. And you can study out the people in the Bible that are the heroes. Those are the ones that God has anointed. And I'm going to say this. God's raising up heroes in this day and hour. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. Say, God's raising me up to be a hero and not a zero. Amen. So God's raising you up, you believe this, to be a hero in your area or arena of influence. Yeah. So God wants to raise you up to be a hero. And I like what it says in Hebrews. And Hebrews in chapter 11, it talks about the hall of faith. It talks about Abraham and Moses. And I think when we read about these people, we think that they're untouchable. But these people were ordinary people like you and me. They didn't have anything special except the God factor. And I'm going to say this. You have nothing special except the God factor. The anointing of God in your life. And let's look at Hebrews 11. And let's just read a little bit of this. Skipping down to verse 30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So it was the anointing that broke down the walls of Jericho. And all they did was obey God. I'm going to say this. It's going to be the anointing of God that's going to break down any walls that might be holding the blessings of God back in your life. Amen. It's going to be the anointing of God and following God as closely as you can. Somebody say, I'm following God. Amen. No turning back. No turning back. And I love this. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more I shall say, for this time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, after that David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Notice this. Through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, when I read this, this tells me these are superheroes. These are people doing the impossible. And I really believe that God's raising up a generation, and I'm talking about you, that's going to be walking in the miraculous and walking in the impossible. See, I think sometimes we We study these Bible characters. We study what God has done in their lives. And we think it's just to get a good teaching out of it. Maybe to get an understanding of who they were and what they did and the great things that they are doing. You know, the book of Acts really never ended. In other words, the book of Acts is still being written. Amen. And I'm going to say this, that God's writing your story. Amen. And your story is going to be written in the halls of faith in heaven. Do you believe that today? Amen. So God wants to take ordinary people. I'm talking about ordinary people to do extraordinary feats. And this kind of faith should inspire us. I'm going to say this, that if you're not, you know, desiring for more in your life, you need to get saved. Amen. If you're not desiring God to do more in your life, in your family's life, lives, you really need to, get refired up. Amen. And I think sometimes, you know, we're not as fired up as we need to be. Amen. You know, God wants to raise up Moses's in this place, David's, Esther's, to make a difference in this world. And these people, they were used of God to do mighty works. Amen. Faith is one part of the equation that allows the anointing to work in our lives. So that's faith is one part of the equation. But there's another part of the equation that works with faith that allows the power of God to work in our life. Thus my title, The Anointing Connection. Amen. What is the anointing? What causes the anointing, the power and presence of God to work in our lives besides faith? Let's look at two scriptures, and hopefully you guys are figuring it out. What am I talking about this morning? You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor? Okay, you run that by me again. Well, let me give you some scriptures that might help you out. In Galatians 5:6, talking about there's another element added to faith that causes the anointing to work in our life. In Galatians 5:6, because we know faith doesn't work alone. You know that. Faith doesn't work alone. Faith has to work with some other things. Amen? In Galatians 5:6, it says, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So we see here that it's not just by obeying God's word or obeying the law that makes the power of God work in our life. You have to add something to your faith. Can somebody say love? Love. Amen. So even in the book of Corinthians, in chapter 13, the love chapter, it says that you can have faith remove mountains, but if you don't have love, it doesn't amount to too much in God's kingdom. So faith has to work by love. Amen. And then in Hebrews 6:12, it says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So now we see that not only do you need love working to make faith work, and I'm talking about the anointing this morning, but you also need patience. Oh, Pastor, did you have to go there? Yes, it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. So when you take these two powerful forces, love and patience, and you connect them together, what is that? What comes out of that? What comes out of that is humility. Humility. Somebody say humility. And humility is not popular in today's culture. If you think about that, you have Facebook and Instagram, and everybody's showing off all their bling bling, and everybody wants to tell you what they think and their opinions. And everybody wants to be heard and seen in this day and age. Is that right? Everybody wants to be heard and seen. And we know that they, in the Old Testament, that they were trying to build a tower to Babel. And they were trying to build this tower to make a name for themselves. And God caused their language to be changed and dispersed the people. And they couldn't build that tower to heaven. And so what I'm saying to you this morning, I'm saying we don't need to be making a name for ourselves. We need to be making a name for God. In other words, we need to be lifting up the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so we need to start moving into humility. And humility is the missing ingredient, I believe, in today's culture. But as a Christian, that is the most powerful virtue you can walk in, is humility. Amen? And I like that. So if you're going to walk in humility, you're going to walk in the anointing, because you have to be humble. You know, Jesus, he was the humble servant of God. And Jesus, they tried to make him a king, and he would not allow them to do that. He would go and hide himself. They try to tell him, you know, his brothers and sisters try to tell him, go to the feast and show yourself and show all the miracles. And he said, no, it's not my time. See, there's a time for God to promote you. There's a time for God to bless you. And even King David, he had an opportunity to take King Saul out. He could have killed King Saul. He had an opportunity, but he said, I will not touch God's anointed. Amen. In other words, David allowed love and patience to work, to allow God to work it out for Saul to finally be killed by his enemies and for David to be promoted. Amen. Somebody say, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So I'm going to say this morning, that God's anointing, or his power and his presence, doesn't come cheap in a believer's life. In other words, it's going to cost you. Some people say, "What, Pastor? You mean it's going to cost me? You mean I'm going to have to? I thought all everything was paid in Jesus Christ. I thought everything just falls on me like ripe cherries off a tree. No, you're going to have to pick those cherries." So there, the anointing of God doesn't come cheap. If you're going to walk in the grace, if you're going to walk in his favor, if you're going to walk in his, you know, his love, you're going to have to contend for the faith. Amen. Say, I'm contending for the faith. So God's anointing is produced through a common virtue called humility. And humility is always produced through us sacrificing something in our lives. Now, I'm going to say this. As I said, the anointing doesn't come cheap, and it doesn't come without a sacrifice. And a lot of people want something easy and something free. If it's free, it's got to be good. Well, we know salvation's free, but it wasn't easy because Jesus went to the cross for it. But to have salvation, you're going to walk it out every day of your life. It's not always easy being a Christian. It's not always easy picking up your cross and following Jesus. Sometimes the cross is not a cushion cross at times. Amen. And so we need to understand that it's going to cost us something. Amen. I like that Jesus talks about, you know, three areas that as Christians we should be walking in. And he talks about this in Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about the anointing this morning. And there's actually three elements that connects us to the anointing of God. Number one is giving of our finances. Oh, Pastor, did you have to go there this morning? Giving our finances. Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6 three key things as Christians we need to be doing. And he says here, and giving or sowing our finances is we're sowing what we consider valuable to God. If you consider what's valuable to you, are you giving anything of value to God? Are you sowing your seed, your finances into the kingdom of God. Amen. So what I'm saying is that when we sow our finances, this opens the door for God's grace or his anointing to be on us in our finances. And I don't know about you, but I like breakthrough financial blessings. Amen. I like open doors of grace. Amen. I don't want to run after finances. I want finances running after me. Amen. Amen. And giving has always been around since the book of Genesis, since the very beginning. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve's children were taught to give. It all started in the very beginning. In Genesis 4, 3 and 4, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. So we see it said here, in the process of time. In the process of time, we need to grow up. And in the process of time, when we grow up, we need to realize what God puts in our hands, we have a responsibility to put it back into God's hands. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? It's not a gospel of take, take, take. It's a gospel of give, give, give. It's a gospel of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. And when we get an understanding of that, we'll see the grace of God in our lives. Amen? I love that. And then he talks about that our heart attitude has a lot to do with us receiving the anointing of the blessing of God in our life through our finances. And he says in Matthew 6:1, take heed that you do not do charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then in verses 3 and 4, but when you do your charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deeds may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Amen. So our heart attitude has everything to do with our sacrifices of giving to the Lord. And we have to have our heart right to see the maximum amount of God's anointing in that area in our lives. Will you agree with me there? Number two, the Lord expects us to pray. Amen. How many people pray out here? I know all of you do. I know I'm talking to givers and prayers today. You guys are givers. You guys are prayers. But we're going to talk about the third point here. Amen. And he said praying really is a sacrifice of our time and energy so it could produce a powerful result, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our loved ones. So when you're praying, you have to sacrifice your time. When you're giving, you're sacrificing your money. Is that right? So it's a sacrifice. Some people call it a discipline. But when you hear discipline, you also hear sacrifice. Amen. When you hear somebody, when you see somebody that's in really good shape, you know, and they work out and they're in good shape, you say, man, that person's disciplined. That means that person knows how to sacrifice. And when you learn how to sacrifice, you'll see some grace in your life. Amen. And so Jesus was saying here in your praying, don't be praying to be heard of people in 5 and 6, but be praying in secret. And when you pray in secret, your heavenly Father will hear you and will reward you. Amen. And so I love that. But now we're talking about the sacrifice of fasting. Pastor, do you have to go there? We're beyond that. That's Old Testament stuff. Fasting is not New Testament, is it, Pastor? It's in the New Testament. Amen. And it says here, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So I don't know about you, but I don't want my reward from people's pats on the back. Amen. Tell me I'm doing a great job. I want my reward coming from God. Amen. And if I'm fasting for God, not fasting to be seen by people, to show people how spiritual I am, then if I'm not doing it for people, I should be doing it for God. And when you're fasting, he says, and you're fasting in the right way, not to be seen by people, but to fast, to sacrifice for God, God can do something with that. Do you believe that today? And so part of this fasting that we're going into and we're starting next week is, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm doing pretty good. I'm you know, I got money in the bank. I'm healthy. My kids are doing okay. Why do I need to fast? Well, what about this nation? What about other people? What about some relatives? Amen. Maybe you don't need to fast for yourself, but can you fast for somebody else? What? That's a new concept, Pastor. Yeah, that's a new concept. Sometimes we as Christians, we are always looking for the blessing. Is that right? As Christians, I'm looking for the blessing. This morning, you know, you come in church, I'm looking for the blessing. Thank God we got blessed this morning. We had a prophetic word. God spoke to us. He said he's with us. He's for us. Glory to God. He's comforting us. He's the comforter. And thank God for that. Thank God for prophecy. Thank God for a word in due season. And so it's good to be blessed. And I'm not discounting seeking blessings, but we also need not only to seek blessings, but we also need to be a blessing. We need to learn to start being a blessing, especially in this selfish world that we live in. Amen. And I'm going to say this, that when you first started giving, it might have hurt. But giving after a while should turn into a joy. You might start praying and it might have been drudgery. But the more you start praying, the more joy starts getting connected to it. And I'm going to say the same thing with fasting. And you say, oh, Pastor, you mean you can fast in happiness? Yes, you can fast and you can have joy and a smile on your face. Do you believe that today? And I've had times with God when I've fasted and prayed that I felt the presence of God. I felt the closeness of God. I felt his peace that surpasses, like the Bible says, all understanding. And I'm telling you, you can't, you know, there's not enough money that you can give to get peace in your life. What prayer and fasting can do. Amen. So fasting and humility is closely related. And I like this because David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and David was a man of humility and love. And we know that, how he treated his enemies. And David was really, you know, he had a lot of compassion for his enemies. And in Psalms 35, verse 12 and 13, this is powerful, talking about David praying for his enemies. It says, they reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humble myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. So he says here that he was praying for his enemies. He was praying for those that were coming against him, kind of like Jesus, that was praying for us on the cross. And he was praying for his enemies on the cross, interceding on the cross for his enemies. And David said that he humbled himself with fasting. So I would have to say that humility and fasting is closely aligned. Would you agree with me there? And so I love that. So people fasted in the Bible, and they fasted to show how earnest they were before the Lord. They were showing how earnest they were in the prayers that they were praying and what they were believing God to do in their life. Fasting reveals to God that you're serious about what you are praying for him to do in your life. I really believe that. Fasting actually puts the edge, fasting in prayer, fasting puts the edge on your prayer life. It's saying that you're serious about what you're believing God to do in your life. And I'm going to say this, that I don't want to stay the same. This year, I got to admit, this year was a great year. Would people admit that this was a great year? And this year was a great year for Pastor David and the family. And God has blessed, I'm blessed us immensely this year. The church has been blessed. I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful for 24. It was more in 24. But I believe in 25, the adage should be, come alive in 25. Say, come alive in 25. And we need to come alive in 25. Amen. And so we're going to be starting fasting and prayer. Amen. And we're starting that next week. And it's based on, you know, the 21-day Daniel fast. And I want to encourage each one of you to pray, to really seek the Lord, and to find out what the Lord wants you to do in the next 21 days when we start this coming Sunday. Amen? And you never know what God may tell you to do. Last year, the Lord revealed to me to fast 10 days on water. And I wasn't prepared for that. But, you know, I did it. I didn't do it for myself. I did it for the Lord. I had my own way I was going to fast. Amen? I was going to do the seafood fast. Seafood and eat it. So the seafood fast. Amen. And so are you hearing what I'm saying today? But God didn't want me doing the seafood fast. He wanted me fasting on, you said, Pastor, you fasted on water for 10 days. Yeah. And it was the grace of God that was with me. And I'm telling you, it was not hard and it was easy. And I lost some ugly fat. And I got my washboard stomach back. Hallelujah. I was looking 16 again. Glory to God. Amen. I dropped down a little side. I was looking good. Amen. I'm telling you, I mean, Yen was about ready to ask me out on a date. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying that fasting and praying and giving to the Lord are keys to seeing the anointing of God in your life. In Acts 10, this is powerful, there were some faith heroes in the New Testament. Talking about heroes today, I'm talking about you guys are becoming heroes in God. And in Acts chapter 10, there was this man called Cornelius. And he was a centurion, and he was an Italian guy that was a proselyte. He believed in the Jewish God, and he did some things. And in Acts chapter 10, it talks about that he was praying, fasting, and giving. Praying, fasting, and giving. Amen? And let's look down here in Acts 10, 30 and 31. And he's talking to Peter. He was fasting, praying. An angel came to Cornelius and said to Cornelius, go to this particular house where this man, Simon, which is Peter, would be lodging. And bring him back, and he will have words to tell you what you need to do. Because the angel could not preach the gospel, and only people could. So an angel visitation came in. I don't know about you, but I would like to have an angel visitation every once in a while. I would like to have an angel visit me to connect me to somebody that can bless me, that can give me some words of wisdom and direction and guidance. And here in Acts 10, 30 and 31, Cornelius says, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, the ninth hour, and I prayed in my house. Now it connects fasting here to the blessing. And the ninth hour is a 3 o'clock hour for our time. So it sounds like to me that he was fasting till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Amen. It might be something that you may want to think about. Fasting, skipping breakfast, skipping lunch, fasting all the way till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon and eating one meal. You know, taking those two meals that you would eat and spend time in Bible study and prayer. Does that sound exciting or what? I know I'm getting you guys excited. Amen. Amen. And so it says here that at the ninth hour, that Cornelius was praying, and the angel said, your alms and your prayers, and prayers is connected to fasting, came up as a memorial unto the Lord. And that's the reason why the angel was sent. That's powerful. That's powerful. So if God can send an angel to somebody that's not even saved to get them saved, some people say, well, you know, what if they've never heard of Jesus? How can they get saved? Well, if they have a desire to know the truth, God will get somebody to them to get them saved. Yeah. Some people say, well, my people may never hear. Well, if they have a desire for truth and they want to know God, God will get somebody to them.
Amen.
Do you believe that today? So don't buy into this lie. Well, there's some people never hearing. No, God will make sure they hear. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love this because Peter preached the gospel to not only Cornelius, but to his family. And in the passage of chapter 10, it talks about Cornelius inviting his friends. And Peter preached the gospel. And the Bible said the Holy Spirit came upon the whole crowd that he was preaching to, Cornelius, his wife, his kids, his family, and baptized the entire bunch. And they all got filled. They received the anointing of God, the power and the presence of God on their lives. Think about that. Not only can your fasting cause the anointing of God to be on your life, it can transcend the anointing to your loved ones. Do you believe that today? I'm telling you, we need to get stirred up this morning. We need to get excited about what God can do coming alive in 25. Think about that, glory to God. I might need to get a t-shirt made up. Coming alive in 25. Somebody probably already, some prophet on YouTube probably already got it made up. Amen? Glory to God. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, notice it says if my people, that says that, you know, we have a choice. It says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. Remember I said fasting and humbling are connected? So you could say it this way, if my people are called by my name will fast and pray and seek my face, because humbling yourself is fasting, according to the Old Testament's definition. And it says, and pray and seek my face, I'll turn from their wicked ways. Amen. So we need to seek God, and we need to turn. And you might say, I don't have any wicked ways. Well, if you have worldliness in your life, in some areas, you might need to turn away from that. There might be areas in your life that's worldliness. And the Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And if you love the world, the Bible actually comes even to a stronger point. James says, if you're falling in love with the world, you start turning into an enemy with God. Woo, Pastor, are you going there this morning? So we've got to be very careful that we're not falling in love with the world, but we're falling in love with the Word.
Amen.
Amen. And the enemy's very subtle. He will try to get us falling back into our old patterns, falling back into worldliness. But we need to go from worldliness to godliness. And in this fast, I believe some of us are going to see the light. Some of us are going to be enlightened, glory to God. Amen? In the book of Daniel, eliminated, you know, the sweets. He just ate vegetables and beans. And he did what was a partial fast. Amen? And so you can do a partial fast in the next 21 days. Amen? You may want to eliminate the meats and the breads and just eat vegetables. And you say, Pastor, how can you live on vegetables? I don't know. It sounds like a hard pill to swallow. But you can do it. Glory to God. Amen. You could fast 2 meals a day like Cornelius. He was fasting breakfast and lunch. And you just eat 1 meal at night and focus those meals, those times in prayer and the Word of God. Amen. You could go all out and do a water fast. Pastor, you're going too far out there now. Amen. You could do a water fast. And it won't kill you to do a water fast for 1 day. Now check with your doctor if you have medications and all that. It won't kill you to do a water fast for 2 days. I did it for 10 days. But you said, Pastor, you're in great shape. That's why you can do it for 10 days. No, I'm in average shape. I'm not in great shape, glory to God. But I'm getting there. And you guys are going to get there too, amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So I believe we're going to have, I like that amen, glory to God. I believe we're going to have tremendous breakthrough in the next 21 days. Now, here's some benefits to fasting. And it's in Isaiah 58. And it says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? This is Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. And it says, is this not the fast that I've chosen to loosen the bonds of wickedness? Are there any bad habits? I know not in this group. But if there's any bad habits that you're dealing with in your life, I'm telling you, fasting can help you break those bad habits. Do you believe that today? Amen. Maybe there's some heavy, it says to undo the heavy burdens. Maybe there's some cares. Maybe you worry too much. Do we have any worriers in the house or warriors? Are any people just worry too much? Well, I'm telling you, you need to be a warrior and not a worrier.
Amen.
Glory to God. And fasting will disconnect you from the flesh. The flesh is always connected to fear, to worry. That's the flesh. But the spirit's always connected to faith and love. Do you believe that today? So the spirit's faith and love. The flesh is worry and fear. Amen. So you have to unhook from the flesh. Amen. And it says here to let the oppressed go free. Oppressed is another word for sickness. Maybe you're dealing with some long-term health issues. And you've been praying, but you haven't seen a breakthrough. Fasting might be able to help you see that breakthrough. You might need to pull out the big guns. Fasting and prayer. Glory to God.
Amen.
And when you start pulling out the big guns, glory to God, God will start moving in your life. Then it talks about here that you will break every yoke. Doesn't the Bible talk about it's the anointing that destroys the yoke? The yoke is something that's what they used to put harness on animals to help them, you know, to plow the land, and they would yoke them up. Amen. And so the devil wants to put a yoke on some of our necks. And I'm going to tell you the anointing, what happens is the anointing will cause your neck to grow so big it'll break that yoke that's on your neck.
Amen.
The anointing will cause the strength of God, the power of God to be in your life. And then dropping down, it says your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. Sometimes we like, God, it doesn't seem like you're moving fast enough. Here it says, I'm going to move fast in your life. Here he's saying, when you pray, it's being answered. It's not going to take a process of time to be answered. God is answering prayer quickly. And I don't know about you, but I'm working on my patience. Anybody lack some patience in the house? Anybody working on patience out here? Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And it says, your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. How many people need a fresh word for the new year? Maybe God to reveal something to you that will radically change your life.
Amen.
That will bring your life to the next level.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I want to go to the next level. I don't want to be stuck in a pattern. I don't want to be stuck in one place. I want the anointing to unstuck me. And I'm going to say this to you today, that as you fast and pray, you will see these blessings. God will guide you. It says here that you'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water who waters do not fail. And then it says here that you will, those from among you shall build up the old waste places. You shall raise up foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. These are amazing benefits. Talking about that you will cause faith to reign all around the people that you're in connected with. Glory to God. And it's talking about that we can change our families, we could change our city, we could change this nation. If we start seeking God and we start pulling out all the stops and we start giving like we've never given before, we start praying like we never prayed before, we start fasting and believing God that He's going to open the windows of heaven and that He's going to pour out blessings that we cannot even contain. So I want you to pray this week and seek the Lord in what He wants you to do. And I believe that He will show you exactly. Maybe He'll tell you 10 days on water. Then you're going to say, Pastor, I'm not going to seek the Lord. I'm not going to seek the Lord. Amen. Some people don't want to seek the Lord because they're afraid the Lord might tell them to do something they don't want to do. You know, that's why some people don't pray. Oh, God might tell me to do something I don't want to do, Pastor. That's why I just end Sunday morning and I don't pray a lot. I don't read the Bible a lot because if I don't know anything, I can't do anything. Amen. Don't have an attitude like that. No, God wants to reveal some good things to you. He wants to radically change your life. He wants you radically changing your family. He wants you radically changing your workplace. He wants you radically changing the city. He wants you radically changing the nation. I'm telling you, I'm looking at heroes and not zeros today. And God's raising up heroes in this day and this time. And I'm telling you, you keep seeking God, you will see the grace and the blessings, the presence and the power of God on your lives. You believe that today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness and Your love. I thank You, Father God, that You're preparing us for greater, Lord. That You're preparing us for greater things for the future. That there's more, Lord. That You have more for us. And Father, You said in Your word for us to enlarge our territory. And Father, I thank You that You're preparing us to enlarge our territory. And maybe you're here listening or watching, and you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day of salvation. You may not have another chance. And I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer to get the anointed one in your life so that you can have the anointing of God in your life. Say this and mean it. Say this out loud if you're ready to receive Jesus. Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive You, Lord, as my Savior. Thank You for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.